T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello, Harp. How we doing?
Eddie. How you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing...
Hey, listen.
Yes.
Eddie, you'll love this.
Okay.
I'm sure. Just watching some Pete Maravich highlights.
Oh, you know, wow.
50 years to the day, I think one day off, 50 years since he broke Oscar Robertson's all-time NCAA scoring record, still holds that record.
Oh, wow. I loved watching Pistol.
Then you dive into some of the YouTube stuff. Oh, it's unbelievable. The pass is unbelievable.
I love watching him at LSU going way back. LSU and Press, his dad was coaching. And it was the Pete Show at that point in time. You know?
Oh, my gosh. He'd throw full court behind the back passes, which is crazy. And, you know, do you remember what number he wore, Eddie?
Boy, I don't. You know,
He was 44. He was pretty famous for 44 in the NBA.
Right.
But in college, he was, before Jordan, he was 23.
Was he really 23?
Yeah,
wow.
23.
Did he have, did they show, because he was with the Celts toward the end of his career, and that was well past his prime or whatever.
Yeah. But
was he 44 there too? Did he wear
44? No, 7, remember? 7.
So 7, that's right. You know,
yeah.
Still the, you know, you talk about the behind the back, still the greatest pass I've ever seen actually it was in college, okay? Ernie D.
Yeah,
behind
Statham.
Exactly. You remember the pass?
It's funny you should mention that because I watching Maravich, I had to go get a little Ernie D. And so I just watched the package of that, and that pass is in there. It's crazy. He's going one way, the behind the back going, Statham's going the other into the lane. It's a crazy pass, but.
It's like three quarters court, though. You know, it's like crazy.
It's a long pass.
It is crazy.
De Gregorio. He was one of the greatest passers ever.
Question.
He was just like Maravich. The behind the back stuff was just crazy.
They rocked the boat. I mean, both of them were fabulous. You know, it's funny. One thing I remember about Ernie D. Well, I was talking to Dan Shaughnessy before, and we were talking about Kobe, and we ended up talking about Havlicek because he had passed. He passed last year. John, one of the great players of all time, Havlicek.
Yeah,
but
his,
I still remember because I was there that day, his final game at the Garden, and Ernie D. was on that team. And all he did for the final, you know, whatever it was, 7 or 8 minutes in the fourth quarter, the Havlicek was out there, was feed him the ball with amazing passes. Passes you would never think. And the other team was kind of like, okay, go ahead. Do what you want. Do whatever you want. Okay, this is John's game, you know? It was fabulous to watch. It was funny.
Yeah. I tell you, one quick thing on Kobe. I hadn't watched his last game. I watched it the other night when they replayed it when he scored the 60 61.
Yep.
And, it reminded me in so many ways of Jeter's last game because I hadn't realized, you know, he started off poorly and, you know, and then at the end he's making everything and they come back to win the game. It sort of reminded me that Jeter, the way it's set up for him to win the game that way. And it was, you know, it just struck me. And I mean, it's just such a terrible game.
It was awful. It was tough to watch last night. But, whether you're a fan or not of the team or him, you know, just the way he approached the game and, you know, how he worked so hard and how he wanted to win so much. And that was, uppermost in his mind, whatever. He was great
You love the intensity. I love the intensity, you know. Yep. That was the same intensity I brought to those games in Portugal.
we'll get to that in a second. We'll break that down in a second. You know, you brought up the final game for Kobe, and I watched this. I don't know if it was on YouTube or what, but I wondered if you caught that or saw it. Did the Gordon Hayward thing, did you see that? Because they were playing Utah, wasn't it?
Where
he stepped into the lane. That was amazing.
Because Tirico had said that he did it intentionally and looked at the ref. And I don't know if you saw, but Hayward came out and said he did not do it.
Oh, okay. He didn't. Oh, okay. I thought I did not see that. Okay.
Yeah, because I watched it, having already seen this Tirico's comments.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he did step in early, but he wasn't looking to make.
Okay,
he stepped
I
in
got
early.
You. I got you.
And
yeah.
he was quoted as saying he would never do that because you know, Kobe wouldn't want it that way. He
That's
would
true.
Never want to get it that way. So
yeah.
it was kind of interesting. Yeah.
yeah. No, that is very, very true. So have you packed the suntan oil yet? You'll be down in Port St. Lucie at some point in time, like me. So, hey, were you surprised? Let me start this way. Were you surprised at all that Matt Adams got signed by the Mets? That caught me a little by surprise, honestly.
A little bit. He's still a guy. He's dangerous. He's a dangerous left-handed hitter with some power. We know
yep.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually looked up his numbers after they signed him, and I was surprised. I thought he had done a little more in his career. He hadn't really had any real big seasons, but he did. He was always, I remember, a dangerous hitter, even in the postseason, a couple of years for the Cardinals and things. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. I mean, you would think that would give him even more reason to look to trade Dom Smith,
right.
because
yep.
Dom Smith has absolutely no role,
mm-hmm.
especially if you are going to get anything. We don't know if you're going to get it. They're going to get anything on Cespedes,
right.
but if
yep.
he does, I don't know. I thought Dom Smith would have some value, but maybe they just they never. I don't know. There never didn't seem to be much buzz around any talks with him this winter.
Yeah, it's you know, we were just talking about the Cespedes and the impact that he can or may have. I don't, and it's hard to gauge at this point in time because you have no idea what he is at this point. But this is a guy who wants to play a lot, obviously, to put up numbers because he hasn't played for 2 years.
Oh yeah,
and if he
yeah.
does, then it becomes really crowded because you know McNeil is going to play third most of the time. You know that Cano, if he's on the team, is going to play. So,
right.
you know, where exactly does J.D. Davis or Dom Smith, you know, fit in? Where are you going to get playing time for him?
Yeah.
That's hard.
I mean, I could see keeping one of them for sure. But, yeah. you would think Dom Smith. But, I mean, I really I like them both. I like them. They're bats both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think J.D. Davis needs to get a bats. I mean, even if Cespedes plays, they got to be smart about it and be careful because, you know,
yes.
you can't overdo it.
Right.
But it's funny. I did a column this week about most guys, what they have to prove.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I was talking to some scouts, and one scout reminded me, he said, you know, go back and look at that YouTube video that Cespedes did when he first became a free agent and came over here and signed with Yates. And some of the stuff is amazing. The box jumps, like 45-inch box jumps. He has that kind of, you know, mm-hmm. quick, fast twitch athleticism. And the scout was making the point that if the guy can stay healthy, there's no reason to think he can't still be the kind of athlete that can put up numbers and still be a dangerous at bat, because he shouldn't. I mean,
yep.
who knows what kind of damage he did to his ankle or whatever, but he should still have the mm-hmm. athleticism to be an athlete, a player into his 30s.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, I guess my questions are more on the defensive side, just to, you know, to get eyes on him down in Port St. Lucie and see how he plays the outfield. I think that if he's healthy, he can. I think he knows how to hit, all right, and he
yeah.
has power, and he's all out. You know, he's not going to be a guy who gets cheated in at bats. He's gonna be all out at the plate. But you know, can he patrol the outfield? And I guess the other thing that you'd have to consider too, and this is a little bit on Luis Rojas, both with Cano and Cespedes, sitting them enough to keep them healthy, but also you have to keep them happy too. And neither one of those guys really likes to sit a heck of a lot, you know.
Yeah, that is going to be tricky. Really interested to see how this Rojas thing goes. I think we've talked about it. I think, you know, I thought they should have gone out and gotten Girardi or Showalter. But
right.
I do think, and I think in some ways Rojas might be a better manager than Beltran. So mm-hmm. maybe in some ways that worked out for him. He's obviously managed a lot, which Beltran hadn't done at all. But it is going to be tricky because Cano apparently is one of his big the guy who was pushing for him, but
yep.
you know, now you're going to have to be the guy who says, "Hey, Robbie, you know,
yeah.
how about hustling down the first base line once in a while for us?" And you're right; he's going to have to, you know, find a balance between playing him, trying to keep him healthy, and keeping him on the field and keeping him happy, all that stuff. Same with Cespedes; he's not the easiest guy
nope.
to manage either, especially when he's going to, as you said, he's going to be looking to make up the money he lost in that contract,
and
that's based on. On incentives that are, you know, per at bats, per games, whatever it is, things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see how Rojas handles all this stuff, because all these players rave about him.
Yep.
But as you know, it's a different story when you become the boss and you have to say no and be the bad guy.
Yep. No question about that. People like him. He's a very likable guy, and I think he's very smart, and I think he can handle it. But you're right. You know, it's when guys, it always comes down to play or not play, you know, and if you feel you're not playing enough, even if you like the guy, you know, you got to work that out and smooth it out at some point in time. So I would imagine he'll have some bumps he has to get over. That's for sure. You know.
And then my big thing with him is just, as you know, he does seem, everybody, I know he's a smart guy, everybody said it, and he's game tested in some ways, but still, you got a lot of tough decisions with that bullpen, and then you're going to have to answer for him every day now with the New York media twice a day before and after games. That's something that's a test for a guy that's never done it. So it's still a risky choice. Still would have made more sense to me to go get a guy who's done it, but we'll see. And especially considering that, you know, Brody's turned this into a win now situation, with what he's done a little bit with the farm system, and his own job could be in the balance because who knows when this ownership change is going to take place or whatever.
Yeah, it's a huge year for Brody. I don't think there's any question about that. You mentioned the Yankees. I saw the article you did on the Yanks and the guys who have something to prove. And I think Giancarlo Stanton was right at the top, as he probably should be and has to be. Probably 1A might be Gary Sanchez in that role too, because they both have something, I think, to prove this year, despite the 38 home runs I think Sanchez had last year. But he has something to prove behind the plate, too.
Yeah, I listed him. He was one of the guys because, I mean, in one way, in one sense, I think it might have been 34, but something in the 30s.
34, okay.
He did lead all catchers with home runs, so you would think, well, what you got to prove? But then I looked, I mean, especially with the Yankees, it's all about the postseason. His postseason numbers are horrible.
Yes, they
and
are.
It's not just, you know, 30 at bats now. It's 100. It's like, I think it's like 111 in plate appearances, if I remember right. And he's done nothing. And last October, he was terrible in that ALCS. So yeah. And then if he's not going to hit, then all of a sudden the defense becomes a huge issue because it seems like, especially in the postseason, again, those pass balls become more magnified and all that. So yeah, I think, look, Cashman believes in him. I think they're determined to stick with him, but at some point the offense has to come through in key spots for him, or else the defense kind of outweighs it.
Andujar is interesting too. You know, it makes sense. Urshela had such a great year last year that he's, you know, playing third base, but you know, you're asking a guy who was defensively deficient at third, and now, you know, first base, left field. Can he handle that? Can that work, Harp, in your eyes?
I think it could because to me, most guys, if you play on the left side of the infield, you should be able to make the transition. You have the hand-eye coordination to do that, and it's just a matter of getting reps in, I would think. And it takes, especially playing at first, it takes the burden of throwing mostly off of him. So I would think he could do it. I know they still have expectations for Voit, so we'll see how that goes. But it does give him an option there. And I would think, you know, don't forget what kind of year he had with the bat as a rookie. The kid can hit.
Yes.
Scouts rave about how much hard contact he makes. So I would think he's going to have a role here. But the problem, of course, is I think you want Stanton to DH mostly or a lot to try and keep him healthy because injury is such an issue with him. So there's probably not a lot of DH at bats for Andujar, but I think they do need to figure out a way to get his bat in the lineup because he's still, I mean, that guy can hit it.
It's a fascinating year, I mean, for both teams. There's a lot at stake, obviously, when you sign Gerrit Cole. They're the odds-on favorite to win the division and get to the World Series. The Mets as well, as you mentioned, you know, have a lot at stake. It's a big year for Brody, big year for a lot of guys, and it's a win-now team. So it's fascinating going into the season how much is at stake for both teams this year.
Yeah, it should be a fun year, you would think. I mean, huge pressure on the Yankees now to win it all. They're the odds-on favorites, especially taking Cole away from the Astros. Never mind everything else that's gone on with the Astros. and then the Mets. That, I mean, the division is so tough, but they, you know, they should be right there. That those four teams, not a huge difference, I don't think, with any of them. I would think the Braves got to be the favorites, but If you get a few breaks and things happen the right way, the Mets could go ahead and win it. I mean, that's why I think they're not counting on Cespedes, but a guy like Cespedes, to me, could be a wild card, the kind of wild card you need to win a division when it's that stacked. And then we'll see what, you know, I mean, I think ultimate wild card is Diaz. If he comes back in anything like he was a couple years ago, that bullpen could be great. And that's obviously what cost him last year. So.
Yeah, I mean,
it should be a fun year.
I've said this about the Penn, too, with the Mets, that, you know, again, you're asking for a lot of bounce back there. You know, Familia, he's lost weight. We know that. Diaz, and even other guys, you know, Gesellman, who will probably be out there as well, too. But if there's an area, I think, in baseball where you do tend to get a lot of bounce back, it is the bullpen. And plus, you've added Betances. If he's healthy, that helps. To me, it helps an awful lot.
Yeah, they've reduced the odds anyways of counting on all those guys to bounce back.
Right.
And
yeah,
I gotta tell you, I did see the videos or whatever it was of Familia. I was honest.
Me too.
Looks like half the guy he was.
I thought he had turned sideways for a second.
I couldn't believe it. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to help him throw strikes, but
we'll see. I don't know. I have no idea whether that had a huge effect on him. He was, he did look a little overweight.
My gosh.
What he's lost, makes a big deal. But that was dramatic. There's no question about that. We'll see if he keeps it off, too, during spring training. We've also seen guys come into spring training by the end of the year, too. They kind of look the same. I still remember, who was it, Mo, when he came to Mo Vaughn, when he came.
Oh,
when he came down. Do you remember that? When he got out of the car and we said, has he lost any weight? supposed to lose about 30 pounds, and I said, I don't know. I'm not sure. If he did, I don't notice it.
Mo was a big boy.
He was a big boy. Hey, a quick thing. You know, you were talking about the National League East. I thought the Donaldson thing was kind of huge. I get maybe a help for the Mets, maybe a help for everybody, because I thought either if Atlanta or Washington got him, that's a big plus for either one of them. And he goes to Minnesota, so neither one gets it, so maybe that's a help for them. I don't know.
That is big. I thought that was kind of a difference maker there, which one got him, and he goes, he goes to Minnesota. The Braves go sign Ozuna, he'll help them, but he's not Donaldson, I don't think.
Right.
Now, I guess the Mets' only concern is if the Braves go trade for Arenado or Chris Bryant or somebody like that.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, Harp, we'll see you down there at some point. I know you'll be down making the rounds, so I'll see you in Port St. Lucie at some point. Bring the ball and bring your Pete Maravich highlights, too, okay?
You got it, Eddie. Back to watching Pete.
Yeah, there you go. All right, thanks, Harp.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.